Good morning and welcome, everyone. I'm delighted to be with you for these 2 days of workshop on the relation between climate change, the environment, health, and societies, organized at Collège de France with the support of Santé Publique France. We have two very exciting days of program, bringing many disciplines together from the fields of humanity to life, science, public health, and also including history and literature, to discuss these important scientific and societal issues. I would like to start with a quote from Albert Camus, who some 75 years ago, when receiving his Nobel Prize in Literature, said that every generation sees itself as charged with remaking the world. Mine, he said, however, knows that it will not remake the world, but its task is perhaps even greater, for it consists in keeping the world from destroying itself. At this period, the issue was the Cold War, and the way out, assuming we are out of this period, implied, among others, to destroy walls and tear down curtains. Now, while this Cold War may still be a concern, the issue of our generation also relates to a heat war, with the building of walls to protect cities from rising sea levels and drawing the curtains during the day to limit heat at home as provisory solutions. Since these solutions will not suffice, certainly, we may also have, contrarily to Camus' generation, to remake part of the world, at least. Did most states, in a way, commit to this remaking of the world by signing the Paris Agreement and the related laws that will have deep implications on the way we eat, move, produce energy and goods, and live? This heat war, as we all know, is due to emissions of carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gas effects by human activities. And these greenhouse gas emissions are themselves due to the increased amount of energy used since the beginning of the Industrial Revolution and the reliance on various sources of energy, in particular, fossil fuels. This has led to increases in the concentration of greenhouse gases, a 50% increase compared to the pre-industrial level for CO2, and also very strong increases for other key greenhouse gases such as methane or N2O. These emissions of greenhouse gases have impacts on our climate. They also have impacts on the environment and living environment, on health and societies. Starting with the level one impacts on the physical environment, as we know, they relate, of course, to the concentration of greenhouse gases, to the warming of the troposphere, to changes in the amount of precipitation, to an increased frequency of extreme weather events, to, of course, an increase in the temperature on the land, to strong impacts on the cryosphere, such as loss of the Arctic and Antarctic sea ice, reduction in the spring snow cover in the northern hemisphere, the retreat of glaciers, and also impacts on our oceans that are becoming more acid, that are becoming warmer, and whose levels are rising. These impacts on the physics and chemistry of our planet led to consequences on life, both land and water species, and on human societies. Here is an attempt to summarize some of the knowledge and hypotheses related to the pathways whereby climate change and the greenhouse gas emissions may impact our societies and human health, including through changes in temperature, including through increased frequency of wildfires, emissions of particulate matter pollution, possibly through issues related to mass migration, through changes in the distribution of vector-borne diseases. Many of these issues will be presented, discussed, debated in this symposium. Societies have reacted to these impacts, and the first type of reaction corresponds to adaptation, while there are also attempts to solve the issue by tackling it at the root, at its origin, through decarbonization of our societies. Starting with the issue of adaptation, a typical example is air conditioning, which allows us to be sitting here in this rather comfortable room while the temperature today is planned to reach and go beyond 30 degrees Celsius. This solution has been adopted in many cities of northern countries, which has had positive health effects with a part of the heat-related mortality that is prevented by this increased reliance on air conditioning. However, air conditioning, depending on the energy mix used to run the air conditioners, entails also an increase in CO2 emission, so that this type of adaptation, at least with the current energy mix in many countries, is worsening the problem that it's attempting to fight, and therefore can only be a short-term solution that cannot be extended too much in space and time. Not to mention the effect of the chlorofluorocarbons that are or were emitted by some of the air conditioning systems, which impact the ozone layer. When it comes to the issue of fighting climate change at its root, the decarbonization of society will have to tackle the sectors of activity that contribute most to greenhouse gas emission, which include the transportation, the agricultural sector, the energy production sector, the industry sector. If we look at these sectors and in parallel look at the disease of burden on the planet and its causes, as shown here on this graph produced by the Institute of Health Metrics and Evaluation in Seattle, that lists the main factors influencing health ranked in terms of DALIS or disability adjusted life years, you see that many of these factors influencing public health are related to physical activity. And this is the case of high blood pressure, high glycemia, low physical activity, of course, which is in turn strongly related to transport. Depending on the transportation mode, the amount of physical activity will be very different. Many of these risk factors on health are related to our diet, such as here, malnutrition, blood pressure, plasma glucose level, body mass index, cholesterol levels, which is related to agriculture. And some of the risk factors are also related to energy use through the amount of particulate matter and other atmospheric pollutants. This demonstrates that by changing these factors, these sectors that contribute most to greenhouse gas emission, we will touch some of the factors most strongly linked to the key drivers of public health. This is not really a surprise because these large risk factors for health are in a way byproducts of the Anthropocene. Atmospheric pollution, unbalanced diets, low physical activities, these are all factors that became more prevalent during the last couple of hundred years, even if some of the key drivers of health date back to more remote times, such as undernutrition or alcohol consumption. So by fighting greenhouse gas emissions, we will make choices that may have strong impacts on our health and are also on social and territorial inequalities in all of these sectors related to transport, energy production, residential, agriculture, industry. This means that the decarbonization of societies might also be, in addition to a way to solve issues related to climate change, an opportunity to solve huge public health issues, such as unhealthy diets, limited physical activity, that many countries have been inefficient in fighting over the last decades or more. For this reason, the decarbonization of our societies, in addition of allowing to, in the long term, to restore our environment, may also be a unique opportunity to improve public health and possibly limit health inequalities, sometimes on a much shorter term, which may be another motivation for our societies to adopt these changes before we reap the benefits of this action in terms of climate stabilization. This, of course, implies to be able to make relevant choices in a short period of time in many sectors essential for our everyday life, which is, of course, not simple. As we know, as historians have taught us, such choices have been done sometimes very quickly in the past. And some of these have led us to the situation that we are facing with climate. This includes the destruction of the rather efficient tramway networks that were in place in many northern cities at the beginning of the 20th century. By buying these companies and destroying the tramways. This includes a strong reduction in the railway network in many countries and the quick adoption through aggressive marketing methods of transportation mode that turned out to be very inefficient in terms of energy, CO2 emissions and health impacts, such as the one-person thermic car. Our societies now have to make clever choices and fast choices to limit CO2 emissions and possibly better protect our environment and health without increasing inequalities between rich and poor within or between countries. So I think this shows well that the issue of climate change, in a way, is a bit like Janus, Roman god with two faces, a threatening face, which is the threat that climate change is posing on our societies, on our environment, on our health, and maybe possibly a more positive one that decarbonization is showing. Decarbonization, if we see it as an opportunity to improve public health and possibly reduce social and territorial inequalities. So during these 2 days, we will review these issues that relate to science, summarizing the existing or expected impacts of climate change on the environment, societies, and human health. Moving more during the second day to issues at the science-society interface with the issue of identifying adaptation and decarbonization pathways with positive co-benefits for the environment, health, and within and between country inequalities, and identify ways to make relevant and efficient choices in terms of greenhouse gas emissions regarding the main sectors of economic activity and society at a pace probably never experienced throughout history without increasing inequalities or threatening the environment or health, and if possible, if without too much disrupting our societies. The aim of the workshop is to review and discuss this evidence regarding the issues I've just mentioned, and to contribute to the structuration of the research community working at the interface between climate change, environment, health, and societal science. And I hope that we will be able to establish strong links and foster future collaborative work. I think it is very relevant that this symposium takes place at Collège de France, which is an institution where these issues have actually been present and debated for a long time, both among the humanities. As you may know, for example, Emmanuel Ladurie has been here professor for a long time, and you see here some of his publications, including the well-known book on the history of climate since the year 1000, published in 1967, that contributed to bringing the issue of the relation between climate and society within the public domain. And more recently, in the field of physical sciences, Edouard Barre, who's in charge of the chair on the evolution of atmosphere and climate here, has organized several workshops on climate, energy, and society, on the carbon cycle in the ocean. And other events have been organized, including one on transition and adaptation last year. So you see, we're at the right place to continue presenting the most recent evidence, now including health as one of the key dimensions also impacted by climate change. I will stop here, thanking very warmly all of you for being here, for having traveled sometimes from remote places. I would like to thank Santé Publique France, who's supporting the public health professorship of Collège de France, to very warmly thank Marc Fleurbet from Paris School of Economics and Maury Lambert, with whom we have developed the symposium program, and the whole administration of Collège de France, and in particular our dear appariteurs and Mrs. Camille Isnard. With this, in spite of the heat coming over us these days, I wish you a very enjoyable workshop. Thank you.